Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Joaquin Guzman, otherwise known as El Chapo or Shorty, has been sentenced to life in federal prison plus 30 years. Now, what exactly was it that El Chapo was doing? How many people did he actually impact? He personally told law enforcement that he had killed 2,000 to 3,000 people. He's talking about personal interaction. And then you think about how many millions of people might have been impacted by the poison that he was bringing into this country. Well, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, CNN's go-to law enforcement expert, has taken a couple of moments for us this afternoon to try and bring us up to speed on all of this. Jimmy, thank you so much for being with us.
Jeff, thanks for having me on what can only be described as a banner day, not just for U.S. law enforcement, but really for international law enforcement. When you think about it, the president tweeted this morning, and this kind of went under the radar with obviously with this El Chapo news, but the mastermind of the 2008 Mumbai, India attacks, a guy by the name of Hafiz Mohammed Saeed, was arrested by Pakistani forces this morning. And so the mastermind of those attacks is in custody. And then, as you pointed out at the top of this segment, Juan El Chapo Guzman is going away for life plus 30. So for the rest of his natural life, and really just an absolute banner day for international law enforcement.
Well, I want to ask you to focus on the El Chapo matter for a second, because you, and you'll have to get the title right for all of us, but you were the FBI guy in Mexico City for a couple of years. You know about the Sinaloa cartel and El Chapo. Can you bring everybody up to speed on what you were doing there and how it played out with this guy?
Sure, but absolutely. The FBI obviously has a big footprint in the United States domestically, and we have agents at work, and I think now between some 63, some 64 different countries assigned in the U.S. embassy in those countries as a liaison between the host nation and the United States and law enforcement between the two countries. So I served in Mexico City in 2013 and 2014. Now, I'm very quick to point out the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, has a much bigger footprint in Latin America than the FBI does. In most parts of the globe, around the globe, the FBI, as far as law enforcement matters related to the United States, is the big dog in town. But really, in Mexico and in many parts of Latin America, the DEA is they're the big dog in town, and they really handle the yeoman's labor, if you will, and they did in this case as well. There were a number of different cases in the United States. I think some eight different jurisdictions had cases against El Chapo. There were FBI cases. There were, DHS, Homeland Security Investigations cases, and there were certainly DEA cases. But the investigators on the ground over there working very closely with our friends down in Mexico with the DEA, and just did an amazing job down there, Jeff.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, when we talk about it, it's the Sinaloa cartel, and just explain to everybody, we hear this phrase cartel. Is that, is it a gang? Is it a company? What does that really mean?
Sure. So Jeff, let's put this into the 21st century technology millennial kind of mind frame and talk about this from Netflix. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the Netflix series, that called Narcos. And
right.
in that series, the most recent edition of that focused on the Guadalajara cartel. And Guadalajara is a place where the FBI has an office. It works out of one of the consulates in Mexico. It's a beautiful, beautiful region. Well, let me just walk you through the life and the career and the crimes of El Chapo. So he got his start basically in the 1960s growing marijuana in that region. And then in the 1970s, he went to work for Miguel Angel Felix Gallardo, and he's one of the characters, I mean, it's a real-life person, that headed the Guadalajara cartel, and a man by the name of Rafael Caro Quintero. Now, that name is just ignominious in the sense that he is the man that's responsible for the killing of DEA agent Enrique Kiki Camarena yes. in 1985, and the Mexicans let him go a couple years ago. Some judge released him, and of course, there's now a huge bounty out now for his arrest and hopefully extradition in the United States. But he is currently free. So somewhere along the way, Jeff, somewhere no one's really sure, in the late 70s, early 80s, Chapo Guzman splintered off from the Guadalajara cartel and started what became known as the Sinaloa cartel. Now, if you know anything about the Sinaloa cartel, I mean, I'll give you this. The U.S. Justice Department, I wrote this down, calls this cartel one of the world's most prolific, violent, and powerful drug cartels. And here are some staggering numbers. The Sinaloa cartel controls roughly 40 to 60% of Mexico's drug trade, with earnings at around $3 billion, with a B, dollars annually. I mean, it is mind-boggling what Chapo Guzman oversaw. So let's continue with the timeline.
Yeah.
Chapo sets this cartel up and runs it until June of 1993. He's arrested in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, he is actually extradited back to Mexico. He faces justice there. I think he's given a sentence of 20 years in a maximum security prison in Jalisco in Mexico, and 8 years later, I think it was 2001, is able to escape from a supermax prison in Jalisco by hiding in the bottom of a laundry cart. Now, apparently he paid $2.5 million in bribes. And Jeff, you and I have talked about it. You know my affinity for Mexico. I love the people. I love the country. It's a beautiful place. It really is a wonderful, wonderful nation. But I had many, many Mexican police officers there tell me, when dealing with the government there and when dealing with much of law enforcement, assume corruption until proven otherwise. And here was a perfect case of that. So in 2009, let's jump ahead. He's free in 2001.
Right.
In 2009, Forbes puts him on the billionaire list in 2009.
Oh.
He's recaptured, and it was a wonderful effort, again, spearheaded by the DEA, the FBI, especially the New York office of the FBI that I served in, as well as the Chicago office of the FBI, certainly had a role to play in this. But the DEA spearheaded his capture, working with the Mexican Marines. They're the best of the best, the equivalent of our Navy SEALs on the Mexican side of the road, and can be trusted.
Okay.
And Chapo was captured in February of 2014 in a small beach resort town called Mazatlan. Now, he escapes, interestingly enough, about a year and change later, I think in the summer of 2015. I had already come back to the United States. You know, he was locked up in this place called Altiplano, which was supposedly another maximum security prison,
right,
in the Toluca region of Mexico. And he escapes when some of his cohorts build a tunnel and tunnel approximately 1 mile from a farmhouse.
Jeez.
Into his cell. He gets up. He's on security cameras. The Mexican guards are watching him. He gets up, goes around the corner to go to the bathroom, enters into the hole, and basically escapes.
Wow.
So that, yes. Now, when that happened, I mean, just you want to lose your mind on that.
Yeah.
Well, we actually can also thank, I think, you know, Hollywood in a certain sense, because if you recall, Jeff, In December, January of 2016, a certain American actor and activist by the name of Sean Penn,
yes,
traveled secretly to Mexico to meet with El Chapo on the down low to do a one-on-one interview. Now, it is believed that, you know, obviously the Mexican government, the police, law enforcement, the federal police there, U.S. law enforcement, everybody was looking and searching for him. And it's believed that there might have possibly been, some of El Chapo's insatiable thirst or desire to be well known and to, you know, not let his story go by the wayside might have ultimately helped lead authorities to find him. And again,
wow,
and I'm scratching my head here, I think it was in January of 2016. He's recaptured after a big shootout between the Mexican Marines and the Mexican Army and El Chapo's henchmen in a place called Los Mochis, which is actually in Sinaloa.
Okay.
So now we fast forward 5 months. Mexico has a longstanding tradition of not traditionally wanting to extradite its citizens to the United States. And this has been something that we struggled with Pablo Escobar and Colombia back in, back in the 1990s. Well, a federal judge in Mexico rules that he can be extradited. Now, the judge in Mexico, by the Mexican sovereign judicial rules, gets to decide which case he's extradited on. They settle on a case in the Eastern District of New York. And in May of that year, he is extradited to the U.S. He is put into the Metropolitan Correctional Center, which is in Lower Manhattan, not far from the FBI office there. And the trial begins in November of last year. Now, one of the big things that came out of the trial, other than the murders and all the awfulness, and Jeff, I got to tell you, I mean, and I'll keep it radio friendly, obviously, for your audience.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that I saw over there about when people talk about the depravity and the absolute, just the horrible, vicious, just the, I can't think of a better word than the depravity. I mean, Chapo and his minions had physicians on payroll so that when they would kidnap rival cartel members and torture them, they would have a doctor on hand to administer B12 to keep the torture victim conscious throughout the torture. I mean, just talk about the sadism. It's just, you can't even, it boggles the mind. It's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing even like what you normally see in the movies, which is, you sit there and you go, that couldn't happen.
Yeah.
So in the trial, a horrific testimony comes out from, some of his henchmen, including a close aide who testifies. And again, this goes back to the corruption piece of this, that said that El Chapo had given a bribe to the then current, he's no longer the president of Mexico. The way Mexico does it, when you win the presidency, it's 1 6-year term as opposed to a 4-year term, and then you can run for a second term.
Right.
So the president at the time when I was there was a man by the name of Enrique Peña Nieto, and one of El Chapo's henchmen who had turned state's evidence and was testifying against him said that he had paid a $100 million with an M dollar bribe to the president. Now, again, that's the testimony.
Yeah.
So El Chapo is convicted on February 12th, as I recall, and today receives life plus 30 years. And Jeff, not to be left out of this, because I think this is equally as important as him going away for the rest of his natural life to a U.S. supermax, where he will not escape in the bottom of a laundry basket. He will not tunnel out of successfully, but also he's been ordered to pay $12.6 billion, again with a B, dollars in forfeiture and restitution. I'm assuming some of that will go to victims' families. I think that would be good, both in the United States and in Mexico and in other parts of Central America.
Right.
And I believe the U.S. government has seized some of his assets here already. Mexican government has done the same in Mexico. So, Jeff, again, banner day for international law enforcement, just an absolute banner day, brother.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, it's always good when the good guys win one, or in this case, two, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, Jimmy, I know that you are in the middle of a lot of very important stuff, and I really do appreciate you taking just a couple of moments for us. I want to let you get back to what's really important, all right?
My man, I appreciate that. And if your listeners are reading between the lines, I think they detect a slight hint of sarcasm there. You knowing that I am on the east coast of Florida, enjoying this spectacular weather, and the wife and I are going to be traveling down to Miami tonight to take in a Miami Marlins game. I think they're playing the San Diego Padres. We are celebrating our anniversary here, so. Yes, your point is well taken, but you know me, I could never turn up a chance to talk to you and your audience because You're a good man, and your audience is better than both of us, so there's that.
Well, here's the deal. I love you, and I respect you, but I fear your wife in addition to loving her, and I don't want her hurting either one of us. So, Jimmy, you are dismissed, my friend, but thank you so much.
You got it, brother. No worries. We'll talk again soon, Jeff.
All right. That is Jimmy Galliano, truly the best of the best. I'm not kidding you. He is on his anniversary vacation, and I thought it might have been over. So I sent him a text, and he said, oh, I could never turn you down. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if Mrs. G knows that I'm responsible for taking him away for 15 minutes, it's all over. But there you go. That's the backstory on all this stuff with El Chapo. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.